The scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. The resurrection. After the Sabbath, as Sunday morning was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone away, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they trembled and they became like dead men. The angel spoke to the women. "You must not be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised just as he said. Come here and see the place where he was lying. Go quickly now and tell his disciples he has been raised from death, and now he is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him. Remember what I have told you." So they left the tomb in a hurry, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Peace be with you." They came up to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. "Do not be afraid," Jesus said to them. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." May God bless the reading of this, his holy word.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you. Would you please join with me in an attitude of prayer? Lord, we thank you. These words that were spoken are not simply history. They're also not simply ink on paper. They're alive. Are you actually speaking to us a greater truth and a greater understanding? Thank you, Father, for how you continue to be at work, sustaining, changing, strengthening us. It's in the name of the resurrected one that we pray. Amen. I was mentioning about how things seem to kind of jam up one to another, especially in Holy Week. All of a sudden, we're upon Easter, and it's easy to get confused about what it really means. Quite easy. There was a Sunday school class, and the teacher had asked a simple question. What does Easter mean? What is Easter? Describe it to me. And the first student said, "Oh, yeah, that's when the pilgrims came over, and we get together and we have turkey and stuffing and we watch football in honor of God." She said, No, I don't think so." Another one raised their hand, and they said, "Oh, that's when we decorate a tree and we have presents, yeah, and we go ahead and open them up and have a great time." And no, sorry. Finally, a young man raised his hand and said, "Well, that's when Jesus comes out of the tomb." And she said, "Wow!" Every Sunday school teacher, whenever something clicks, is always just impressed. "Yeah, you got it." But he continued and said, "Yeah, and we wait to see if he sees his shadow and we have 6 more weeks of winter." It's easy to get confused about what Easter really is about, isn't it? We can get distracted and things kind of pile up on us. And it's also easy to forget as Christians that we're Easter people. That means throughout the year, we're Easter people. Easter is really what defines us. There's not nearly the buildup as with other times of the year, but it is the pivotal moment. not only in world history, in all of creation, but in our own personal history as well. And for us to keep it front and center is what we're called to do in our lives. To be Easter people means not simply gathering on one particular day, but whenever we gather or wherever we are, to share the good news that Christ is indeed alive and risen. Amen? You know, Easter is also a time to remember that God works in surprising ways. You know, you might have heard that phrase, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I would say surprising is something that I would substitute for mysterious. Certainly, there are a lot of things that I don't understand about God. I don't mean to disappoint you with that truth. But that will remain the case throughout the rest of my life. And for each of us, that remains the case as well. There's an awful lot of mystery to God. People have been looking at the resurrection story for years, studying it. Entire books written specifically about the resurrection narrative. This particular passage of Scripture eliciting volumes and volumes of academic research and study. The point is not that we need to prove the resurrection. The point is that we need to be open to the surprise of it still. Okay? Accepting it, obviously, but open to the surprise of it as well. To never cease to be surprised that there is an empty tomb. Bishop William Willimon says that we don't define the resurrection. The resurrection defines us. It's what we are. It's who we are. And that is something that we celebrate today because it's all good, as they say. It's all good. Willimon also says in his book, Undone by Easter, kind of an interesting title, and I wanted to go ahead and read this in particular. He talks about Stephen King. Anybody read Stephen King novels? You can admit that in church. It's okay. I'll be taking your names and talking. No, I'm not going to. Stephen King was out for a jog one morning, and he was hit by a speeding van. Maybe some of you know this story. He spent weeks in the hospital fighting for his life in terrible, agonizing pain. And in an interview with NPR's Terry Gross, King admitted that the accident changed his life, and afterward, he had written some of his best novels. Quote, "Still," this is King speaking here, "if someone had given me the choice of retiring peacefully to New England or getting hit by a van and writing two or three more good books, I would have chosen retirement in a heartbeat." Listening to that interview, Bishop Willimon mutters, "In my religion, that speeding, disrupting van is sometimes named God." That speeding, disruptive van is spoken of in this scripture passage this morning, isn't it? After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Whenever angels appear in the gospel, especially in Matthew, it's always at a very critical time. Remember, angels ministered to Jesus after his temptation by Satan in the desert. So they ministered to him there, essential time before Jesus continued into his ministry. They also appeared at the Transfiguration as well, a time in which he was lifted up and when it was clearly stated who he was and what he was about. And then once again, at the resurrection, at the empty tomb, there are angels that appear. God uses angels at very important times, at the most important and critical times in the lives of his people, evidenced by the word of Scripture, but also evidenced by so many stories and countless stories that I've heard from believers having been visited by these heavenly beings at critical times in their lives as well. Maybe upon reflection, they were able to see it. Maybe not even recognizing it at the time that angels were ministering to them or angels were present, but nonetheless, recognizing at that moment when I needed to see an empty tomb, whatever it was I was going through, angels were ministering to me as well. What was their appearance like? Like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going on ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't live your life, in other words, wondering when that surprise, when that van is going to be coming and hit you, literally or figuratively. Don't live your life in fear, but rather live your life in faith. Now, is that a challenge? Of course. If you had just been through an earthquake like this, saw angels whose appearance were like lightning and they were just glowing white, do you think you might be a little shook up, just a little bit? We had an earthquake last Easter, didn't we? And I can remember being out on one of the lots out here that are pretty much vacant of vehicles right now, and all of a sudden I saw things moving around, and I thought, is it me? Do I need to take a nap? I mean, has it been too rough recently? And that was a really unique experience. This was the entire creation shaking. That's what I think we need to truly understand here. It wasn't just a particular location. It was all of creation that was shaking here by what God had done. And then the nerve-wracking, world-changing, truth-bringing words. He was crucified. Did you hear that in the scripture? He was crucified. So that was true. That was emphasized here just to be able to remind people, not only us, but the people then, that yeah, that had happened. And what God promised came to fulfillment. He was also raised from the dead, resurrected. God has won. What a wonderful message to be able to understand today and every day. But do not be afraid. Living in faith rather than fear. It's a challenge, isn't it? It takes work. People have told me that, you know, we can worship on our own, pastors. I would have guys talk to me about being able to go out into the woods, and that was their church, you know, and they could just go ahead and get out there and meditate and be by themselves. But whenever we are part of the fellowship like this, it reminds us that we are not alone. So living in faith rather than fear becomes just a little bit easier, doesn't it? Isn't it nice to know that you're not alone? Isn't it nice to know that you're not alone on the journey? Isn't it nice to know that you have this gathering, brothers and sisters in Christ, sitting right next to you, sitting across the room, some people you haven't met, but others you know very well, who are with you and with you in it, whatever it is. The scripture passage continues, though, and it says that they were to go quickly, and they were to give this message. So they left the tomb quickly with fear. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You ever hear that right before you're going to get a shot? What are you? Afraid! They left with fear. That's okay. It's a human thing. They left with fear, but also great joy. They didn't know what to think. Oh my God, what an amazing thing, but we've been given a pretty big task also, but they had joy. Remember what we say also, happiness versus joy. Happiness is something that we continue to try to seek from the world. Joy is something that only God will give you. Remember that. Happiness is something that you're going to be chasing after, and you're never really going to get it from the world. But when you open yourself up to God, joy is something that He gives you. And that's what carries you through the difficult times. You might be happy for a while, but when you're joy-filled, that's for eternity. So they had that joy, even in the midst of not being sure what was going to happen. And they ran to tell the disciples. They were still fearful, okay? And then what happens? Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings!" And they came to Him, took hold of His feet, and worshiped Him. It's interesting that just a few days earlier, Jesus was doing something with other people's feet. He was washing them. He was in the role of a servant. And yet here, they were taking hold of His feet. They were worshiping Him. They were so pleased. And because of Jesus' appearance, because they trusted in Jesus, because they were now claiming that name above all names, they were able to experience peace in their lives. Does that mean that it was going to be an easy and smooth journey from them here on out? Of course not. What do we know about the early disciples? We know that it was a difficult thing, a challenge. What do we know about the early church? A difficult thing, a challenge. But did they have something eternal? Absolutely. They had joy that God was filling them with that would strengthen them. And they also had a Savior who was risen from the dead. A name to truly trust in, Jesus Christ, above all names. We have a name that we're given, but Christian is a name that we take on. We make that decision. We say, that is the name that I'm basing my life upon. So once they saw Jesus, they truly were at peace. And Jesus says to them again, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." One thing about how God came along and God's grace slammed into these women going to the tomb, how God's grace was going to slam into the disciples, how God's grace is slammed into people who are open to it and also people who are unopen to it all throughout down history. It's not something that we dictate or control, thank God. It's something that God moves in our lives. Do we define God, or does God define us? God defines us. Trying to contain God, trying to keep God in a little package that's neat and tidy, that fits into our view of things, never does work, because God's always going to break out of that mold. If a tomb couldn't hold Him, our narrow-mindedness won't either. For us, God is stretching us, even now, and especially now. And although when God stretches you, it may be like getting up in the morning, some mornings that things just kind of pop and creak. I don't know if you ever have that issue. And you want to get up out of one side of the bed and go around and climb in the other one, possibly. But, you know, God stretches us and pulls us and encourages us to be more than we could just on our own, that's for sure. This last verse says something very important. Do not be afraid. It's a commandment from Jesus. This is a commandment from Jesus to each of us this very day. Hear this. This is Jesus speaking to us, the living word, this very day. Do not be afraid. Amen? Are we going to seek to try to do that? Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. It's not simply about the resurrection. It's also about what we are called to be now. Agents of reconciliation. Agents of hope. Does that mean that you're going to be an evangelist preaching on a street corner in Yuma? Maybe. I'll encourage you if I see you there, especially in August. I'll bring you water. No question about it. But how else can we share this good news and witness to the resurrection? Countless ways. Can it start with small steps? Absolutely. Can it start in our own marriages, in our own homes, in our own families, amongst friends that we know very, very well? Yes, absolutely. Can it grow from there? Absolutely. You see, the possibilities are endless. This morning, we have heard Jesus, his words ringing down through the ages, saying to us, don't be afraid, I am alive. Share that good news. I would invite you to be with me in an attitude of prayer right now as you consider how these words are speaking to you. Again, we're people of faith, not fear. We are people open to God's grace slamming into us, not afraid of that as well. How has God's grace been filling you? How are you going to share that with the world?